Hello and welcome to the FinTech Newscast. My name is John, and this week we'll be talking with GoHenry, an interesting fintech that's working on helping kids and young adults work on developing good financial health. Please hit subscribe to keep up with the latest episodes. All right, let's get started. With me is my co-host, Steve.
Hey, everyone.
And Monica.
Glad to be here.
And with us this week is GoHenry. We have one of the co-founders, Dean Brower, who is working on helping to improve young people's financial health and future. Can you tell us a little bit of an intro on GoHenry?
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. So GoHenry was set up with a vision to help the next generation learn about money, to provide them with a safe spending solution so they could participate in the digital economy and build confidence to learn about money, and to help parents by giving them a tool to put in a system in place with their families to help them learn to manage money, help their kids learn to manage money, and, you know, help ease life when it comes to managing the family's allowance. So we really have, I think we're a purpose-driven organization with a very simple mission. That's, you know, we get out of bed to help millions of kids be good with money. And we wanted to also create a business that was out there doing good in the world. It started in a very entrepreneurial way, as a group of parents and friends were bemoaning, on a football pitch in England about how their kids were using their own credit cards to buy stuff on iTunes, you know, download music on iTunes. They were buying things with our credit cards on Amazon and downloading games.
We've seen kind of heard about disasters with that, where thousands or tens of thousands of dollars have been racked up on even just a game.
We've heard about that too. We didn't experience the thousands of dollars, but we certainly were thinking about a few things. One was we were worried about how our kids were going to learn about money in a digital age when cash wasn't passing through their hands. We were slightly concerned that our credit cards were being used in all these platforms. So we were obviously worried about them racking up, big receipts with iTunes and Amazon and Steam and in-app micro purchases and things like this. And we thought to ourselves, why hasn't anyone created a safe spending solution for kids and a tool that parents and kids could learn to manage money together? So we actually went out and looked at what was on offer in the market, and we were quite excited about the fact that there seemed to be a big void in the marketplace. Traditional banks were not offering any solution like this to the market. Often, actually, it was even worse. Is a traditional bank was taking what was an adult bank account and not even repurposing it for a kid, just giving a carbon copy of what is an adult bank account to a child. Banks don't even issue cards to kids below 12. So there was just what seemed like a lot of white space there and a big opportunity.
You can get a card starting when you're 13 then.
So you could get a card. In the U.S., when you're 12 years old is the first time most banks will issue a debit card to a child. And obviously that card is given to the child without any guardrails in place. So, you know, the parent might have oversight barely into the kid's account, but that's about it. You're given a bank card and an adult bank account. Often banks don't even offer a proper youth banking solution. So access to a mobile app or online banking that isn't given by every bank to youths under 12 and many not under 18. There's a lot of friction in signing up for a traditional bank account, even if you are a member of, you know, Bank of America or Chase or, you know, your local regional bank. You often have to go into the branch, fill out paperwork, and get your kid's account set up. So we obviously approached it from a consumer perspective. None of us came from, you know, a traditional financial services background. We're kind of product and internet folks and marketing folks and operators. And we just felt that at the time, a few things were coming together where this made sense. One, the proliferation of smartphones, and two, distribution channels where small companies could go direct to the market. You know, last year, we entered the U.S. market, which we were really excited and humbled by. We feel the need is a global need. I think there's a few things going on. Parents are obviously really motivated to help their children learn learn about money from a young age.
And so you've just been based out of Canada and the UK so far?
No. So we are just based in the UK. We launched in England. I lived in England for a long time. We set up the business in London. So we're headquartered in London, England. And we have scaled into the American market. And we have obviously operations in North America now. So we have offices in New York City and a few folks on the ground in the U.S., a few folks here with me in Toronto. And we're building operations as we scale into America. So we are really, we publicly launched only in April in the U.S. Mm-hmm. We have a community size globally of over 600,000 users. And, you know, again, we believe this need is global. So we feel that financial education is very important. There is certainly some friction when it comes to parents managing allowance with their kids. And kids equally need some freedom and independence to be able to participate in the digital economy and be able to spend and learn how to spend and manage their own money. Sure. So,
well, a business built on the possibility of friction between children and parents, I mean, I think you'll always have a market.
Yeah. As someone asked me, is so what happens at 18? And I said, well, good news is something like 800,000 plus 8-year-olds every year that come into the market. So we should be. But our view is, you know, when you look at it, it's like, how can we expect children to be good with money if they can't get an experience of using money themselves, right? And in today in the U.S., a third of transactions are done in cash, right? So we don't necessarily, it's not like we're driving this cashless society debate. That's just happening in society. And our job is to provide parents and kids with tools to be able to take part in the world, and for kids especially, to be able to develop skills that fit with the world that they're growing into. And we believe that children learn the skill of managing money by managing money. So we want to give every parent and child the tools to be able to earn, save, spend, and give responsibly.
How do you make people aware of this product besides being on great podcasts? How do people find out about you? Is it more like through financial institutions or through advertising on targeting parents?
Yeah, so we go direct to the customer. So the business model is B2C. It's a subscription-based business. Parents pay a small and reasonable fee for each child that signs up. So it's a monthly fee. We charge $3.99 per child per month. And we go direct in the market, and we grow through you know, some advertising, paid social media, search, things like this, and a lot of word of mouth and organic growth. And then we're obviously always happy to speak to folks like you who are doing good podcasts.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. Is there anyone else doing anything like this at all?
There are a few people. So we, as I mentioned, we created the market, pioneered it, and then we have a direct competitor in the UK, and there's a few new upstarts in the US that launched maybe within the last 18 months. And it's a young market. We obviously believe that there's room for a few players. There should be room for a few players, and
sure.
we welcome the competition. But obviously, we are leaders both in the fact that we're first to market and the size of our community. So, to our knowledge, nobody has a bigger community than us.
That's interesting. Can I ask you, Dean, on the product side? So you mentioned that this is both sort of a spending control and then sort of like a modern way to disperse your allowances to your kids. I'm a father, but my kids are too young to have a card. But I wonder, do you have anything on the roadmap to be able to maybe restrict certain merchants from accepting the card? So
the parent could decide where the card can be used and how much could be spent. So a parent could set a weekly spend limit, a single spend limit, and limit how much money could be taken out of an ATM. And then they can choose where the card can be used. We do it on category level. So for instance, they can choose for the card to be enabled or disabled in stores, online, or at ATMs. And the use case there would be, let's say a parent has a 6-year-old and a 13-year-old in the family. And the 6-year-old is obviously given the card and is just entering in the world of making their own choices on how to spend. And the parent could then set the spending limit and block the card for use online and at ATMs, only enable it for in-store. And often that purchase is happening when the child is out with their parents on the weekend and, you know, they're together, right? And then for the 13-year-old, you could enable all channels so the kid can spend in store, online, at ATM, spend limits, put some guardrails in place. All of these can be tailored to each child, updated in real time. On a merchant level, our customers haven't asked for that. They like this level of control very much, but what you do is we operate under the youth MasterCard scheme. So out the gate, we block MCCs that obviously aren't suitable for anyone under 18. So things like liquor stores, online gambling, adult content, that is by default blocked from the card.
Does it block luxury good makers like Louis Vuitton or Chanel? If so, I want one for my wife.
Yes, we've heard that before. And
I'm sure you have. Yeah.
And I'm sure then your wife would say, can we block luxury sports cars and things like this? And so, yeah, one day. That's the parent experience. So the parent experience is managing the money, setting up allowance, setting up tasks, helping their kids earn, and putting the guardrails in place. Then for both the parent and the child, each gets a notification every time the child spends. So the parent will get a notification telling them their child has just spent. So, you know, it might say, Steve's just spent, you know, $10 at McDonald's and he now has available less to spend $20. So the parent is alerted. And then equally as importantly, the child is alerted on their spend. Obviously, in real time, they see the transaction, they get a notification too, which helps them understand what they've spent and what they have available to spend. Mm. And then children have their own view of the app, and they are given budgeting tools to basically learn to manage their money. So they can complete tasks, their parents set them, they could set savings goals to help them with learning to save for both short-term and long-term items. So a child can save for anything they want. It could be they're saving for a PlayStation 4 over Christmas, or they're saving for a birthday, you know, their sibling's birthday. It could be a cash-based goal. It could be a product-based goal, whatever they choose. And then the way it works is it's, you know, we're all about helping kids build a habit of saving. So we want to make that really easy for them and help them automate the process. So the child will put in their goal, so PlayStation 4, tell us the date they want to save, they want to buy that item, enter in the value of the item. We'll work out for them and tell them how much they need to save each week. And then each week we will move the money into a savings pot for them. We also have a giving feature because we equally learning to save is important, but learning to help others from a young age is also equally important. So we've partnered with the Boys and Girls Clubs of America to allow kids to easily give a small amount of their allowance every
week. Oh, great. Yeah.
To other kids. So we see that as, you know, kids helping other kids. And then a child can also personalize their card. So instead of it being Go Henry, it's Go John or Go Monica or Go Steve.
Yeah, I saw that on the website. It looks cool.
Yeah, and that's a fun little feature. And
a big market. So what have been the problems or challenges and what do you have upcoming that you have to overcome? What does it take to scale?
Yeah, it's a good question. So I think the biggest challenge we have is creating the market. And by that, I mean, there's already behavior that exists, right? And we're just trying to, parents are giving their kids allowance already, right? In the US, something like 80% of kids receive a regular allowance, and it's allowance is part of the culture. And we're taking that behavior and we're turning it into something easy and better than doing it through a cash-based method, right? Less friction, part of the modern world, modern technology, modern tools. But no parent really wakes up and goes into Google to search for a better way to help their kids learn about money. So in many ways, we're creating this market, and that is our single biggest challenge.
Yeah, Steve, you have kids. Does this sound like something that would appeal to you?
This is certainly appealing for my kids. They're a bit young for this product, but I do like the ability to control where they spend money. This is certainly, I think, a growing market, and it's increasingly something that parents are really focused on is how do we control where our kids spend money, and how do we sort of engender in them some sort of financial health or, you know, financial literacy, if we will, so they can make better choices, but also how do we help them get to that point? So it's not for my kids now, but maybe in about 7 years or so.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to learn something without practicing or ever seeing how it works, and having a practice with discipline is certainly something kids need help with.
Yeah, and particularly for parents in the digital age, right? It's not like you can just give your kid a fiver in a week and be like, go out, spend your allowance on the fun things that you want, because they don't want as much bubble gum as I guess I wanted when I was a kid. So I can certainly see how the Go Henry service is really appealing for parents. Dean, I'm wondering, what are some of the things that you're seeing in terms of the kids' behaviors? For example, are you seeing kind of them grow into more charitable giving? Or if you're the kind of kid who gives charitably, you give from the beginning. Do you find that there are certain ages that really are kind of a sweet spot for your services?
Yeah, great question. So the behavior change is interesting. What we hear from our customers and have for many, many years over and over again is when they move from a cash-based allowance method into Go Henry, they often see their kids go from spenders, So where cash is just burning a hole in the kid's pocket, they get the $5 every week and they just want to spend it into savers. So it's modifying behavior. It's helping them make choices. And it's helping them learn mistakes. You know, we see it as it's better that your kid wastes a 10 bucks here or there when they're young and learns that lesson versus when they get their credit card for their first time when they turn 18 and rack up thousands and thousands of dollars of debt. So, you know, so what you were saying, John, about helping kids learn from a young age is, you know, we see it as just, it's, you help your kids learn lots of things from a young age, whether it's reading, writing, arithmetic, learning to ride a bike, learning to play a sport, learning creativity. And what we don't do is help to give them the tools to learn about money from a young age. And there's a lot of research that suggests that even by the age of six, a child has pretty much developed their own habits and attitudes towards money. And the single biggest influence on their attitudes and habits to money is their parents. So it's really important that parents are given tools to help their kids learn. And allowance, as you say, Monica, it's moved from your parents giving you $5 or $10 a week and going down to the convenience store, local 7-Eleven, whatever it is, and buying gum and magazines, into wanting to, you know, buy stuff on Amazon or make purchases on gaming platforms. And then interestingly, I think, you know, we're seeing real behavior change by the tool being given to kids. Some parents say the tasks are really motivating, and it's helping their kids who weren't really participating in household life. They believe incentivizing it is fine. It's helping their kids not only do the thing that the parents want them to, but they're coming back to them and you know, getting entrepreneurial and asking their parents to give them more tasks. And then naturally, some kids are savers and some kids are spenders and some kids are givers. And you know, the personality of the child for sure plays into it.
Well, yeah. Hopefully they're not also hacking into your servers to get more allowance.
they'd be better off stealing their parents' online banking password.
No, thank God.
Endorsement. They should not do that. Do not do that.
No, that is not. No, it is, but not with us. And obviously, you know, we treat and protect our members' data, you know, really seriously, and obviously have strong data protection in accordance with strong data protection rules that exist both in the UK, Europe, and the US. I mean,
it's right. Both. You're coming out of is it a GDPR framework in the UK?
It is, and still we have we have implemented GDPR in the UK, and we take it as seriously as we do in the UK as in the US. We're dealing with two of the most emotional things, I think, in a parent's life, which is their children and their money. Mm-hmm. And we take that really seriously.
Yeah, you know, it seems like something that seems obvious after you hear it. I'm surprised that and maybe it's not marketed to me, but that large banks would offer or maybe acquire for you guys or something like that. But the large banks aren't really building up to be a competitor to your service.
Not that we're aware of.
No, that's good news for you. And yeah. It just sounds like something that'd be a natural fit.
Look, I think the banks are certainly in a period of change for them. You obviously have the neobanks and challenger banks going after the 18 plus segments. And interestingly, I think for the first time in my life that I can remember, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but it's interesting to see Europe and the UK lead the way with the neobanks and the challenger banks. Mm-hmm. You know, places like Brazil have some big players, but in the US, you know, the challenger and neobanks haven't really hit in the same force as they have in the UK and Europe. So I think traditional banks are coming out of legacy everything, legacy debt, legacy regulation, legacy technology. They're obviously in a world where a lot of fintech players are able to come to market with niche offerings, offer what, you know, whether it's Forex or money remittance or, you know, checking accounts. Like, players are coming into the market and being able to deliver for a customer one little piece of what a bank does. And they're doing it very, very well, and they're growing very fast and at scale.
So, Dean, your kids, what's their weekly allowance?
So, I am interesting. I've got a six-year-old and a two-year-old. And when I started the company with a group of other parents, our co-founder Louise, and, you know, some other folks in the business, they were further along than me. I seem to have birthed children and a business at the same time. But my kids, my six-year-old is going to start getting allowance now. He turns six in August. It's interesting because he's starting to get interested in money. He wants to make his own choices. And I will start with half his age. So I'll give him probably $3 a week. And then there are things I expect him to do, which I might incentivize him on, you know, another 25 cents or 50 cents a week if he does things like get ready for school on time and help his mom out a little bit and his dad out. And interestingly, I've since he was about 3 years old, he's had what I call a noodle jar. So when he cooperates in the family, he fills a jar with a handful of dry pasta. And when we fill that jar, which takes him about 4 months to do, that's when he gets a new toy and can go to the store and be rewarded.
I thought you were going to say that's when he gets spaghetti night.
No, no. When he gets the truck that he has his
eyes
on. Well,
that delayed gratification is a great thing to learn early on.
Absolutely. It's
key to life. I'm still waiting for the gratification.
So, Dean, you know, you've got a plan for your six-year-old. Would you see any place in the future for, you know, kind of providing to your parent clients some insights around, you know, these are some of the average allowances we see at this age, or maybe broken out by
country. Some guardrails, some guidance.
For sure. That is, no, that's really good question and an astute one, because it's what we do in the app, and we're always trying to bring in like learning moments for both the parents and the kids. Mm-hmm. So in our next app release, we'll actually be pulling in tasks from our community so that a parent has some default tasks that they could easily add, but crucially gives them an idea of what other parents are doing in the community and the value of that chore. So for instance, you know, what's the average value for cleaning your room? You know, what should a kid get paid? What does the GoHenry community pay out, and how can you benchmark against that? We help them with setting up allowance and giving them average allowance by age. You know, obviously we feel that every family should do what's right in their own circumstance, right? There isn't a hard and fast rule. But yeah, we want to help parents and we want to give them that guidance. And I think parents struggle. Like, if you're going to do incentives and for you're going to give incentives for chores around the house, well, what is the rate for taking out the garbage?
Yeah, and I think also, I say this as a non-parent, but as someone who did chores, you know, there are certain things that, you know, listen, you just got to do this because we all live together and we all have to take care of each other to some degree. And then there's kind of the above and beyond. like, you would have to pay me extra to get me to mow the lawn. You would. I wouldn't do it otherwise, but I would straighten my room just so that I could stay in the home and get dinner.
Yes. No,
people do kind of want to see what things look like in different households, just to kind of gut level check. And also, I'm sure there are some people who want to keep up with the Joneses.
Yeah, we need that. I think that the U.S. has one of the lowest, if not the lowest, savings rate among its peers.
They do.
So anything that helps with that is more than welcome. So good luck to you. And I hope you're very successful and a lot of kids get a lot of valuable experience and make their mistakes nice and early.
Thank you. No, I appreciate that.
All right. And now it's time for our final bite, where we take a look at a number and the story behind it. I'll start with the price of Bitcoin at today's, what's the date today? Today is February 6th at 2:30 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. The price is $3,387-ish, which is still seems to be collapsing. So no recovery in sight for the cryptocurrency markets. Ripple happens to be at 29 cents, also not too hot. So still no big recovery on cryptocurrencies, and a big letdown for those who predicted $100,000 Bitcoin price by the end of 2018.
All I can think of is the Limbo song, "How Low Can You Go?"
Oh. And they're the haters as well.
Always here for hate. Well, I'll go with my final bite for this week. And it's 45.3 million. That's the number of downloads that Square Cash app has had over the over its entire lifespan. This does surpass Venmo's by quite a bit. Venmo's is a hair over 41 million. And what that means is that Square Cash has created that gap between Venmo and itself, and it's the biggest the gap has ever been. So Square continues to be really making its presence felt in the cash and payment space.
Good number, Monica. So my number is actually kind of depressing, kind of interesting. So my number is $190 million. So basically, there was this crypto exchange that held a lot of different coins in what they called cold storage, which is a way to protect the exchange from the internet. So it's sort of unplugged from the internet. And the CEO of this company, who was, I think, in his late 20s or so, maybe early 30s, went to India on vacation and died. And he was the only person that had access to this password that could unlock all these coins. So now the exchange is basically stuck, right, with $190 million of coins that they cannot access because this person died.
Talk about key man risk.
I know, exactly, yeah. Yes.
And I think his wife would like to get her hands on it, and I can't say that I blame her. Yeah.
Well, it's not his money. It's that exchange, right?
It's the exchange. That's right. But it's still, you know,
So it's a lot of people's money are out.
He had several thousand Bitcoin in there, several thousand Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin Gold, Litecoin, some Ether as well. So yeah, it's essentially more than $150 million.
And how he died? He's like a young guy. You think you're pretty safe with this guy, and then he ups and goes to India and jumps off of a. Was it cliff diving or?
No, I don't think it was that. I believe that he died of complications from Crohn's disease, but I think his travels had something to do with exacerbating the condition.
Right.
Oh man, yeah, bad break. We're sorry to hear that.
Yeah, absolutely.
For all the people on the exchange as well.
I mean, this is also one of those things where it's like, where do you put your password? You know?
Did they try password 123 yet?
Yes, they have. His widow has hired a security expert, and they've been trying to break into this thing.
Huh.
And it's still, it just, I think that this is, it's of course very, very sad when a young person with potential dies, but I think that, this speaks to the lack of business continuity planning among these fly-by-night coin exchanges. So keep better processes in place so that this stuff won't happen in the future.
Yeah, and be careful with your Crohn's disease.
Yes.
And maybe go write your will. I need to do that too.
I should as well, actually, yes.
All my assets are in somewhere on the moon. You cannot get to them, but here, you can have them. All right, that's it for this episode of the FinTech Newscast. If you have any questions or comments or have an idea for an interesting topic, please feel free to email us at info@fintechnewscast.com. and thanks for listening.